to the Rockman Show. It's time for Rockman to give his opinions, his views, and his thoughts on life and rock. So grab a beer, buckle in, and get ready to rock!
This is a little different than I thought. I was going to do an Ace Frehley tribute show, and it was going to be where I always record, but time got away from me, and time does that every once in a while. And I've got a couple guys that are going to come up in the show here shortly. Guitar players are going to talk about Ace Frehley and what he meant to them as musicians. But here I am. Got on a plane yesterday. I flew from Houston to London, and then my good friends, Rox and Luke, are like, "You're in fucking London?" I was like, yeah, I'm going to be there. Get your ass to Manchester, motherfucker. And I mean, it wasn't even that nice. It was worse. There were threats. These guys are Italian. They could be mafia. We don't know. But I'm saying, I'm in Manchester, England with my friends, Luca and Rox from the band Shape of Water. Guys, finally we fucking meet in person.
Yeah,
we're shaking hands. We're slapping.
It took how long? Five years.
Yeah, about 5 years.
But welcome to the Rockman Show.
Fuck yeah. Yeah, Luca, you could be my new announcer. Thank you. I appreciate that. So anyway, real quick, we're going to talk some Ace Frehley. And the Ace Frehley tribute show is going to be a little bit more than Ace Frehley. Because it's kind of morphed into that. But anyway, guys, it's great to see you. Real quick, to me, I discovered Ace Frehley when I was a little kid, 1975. You guys weren't even born. And my brother's friend down the street got this record called Kiss Alive. And it was like the light shined really bright. I'm like, what the fuck? I mean, I didn't know. I mean, in my memory, how old was I? Hold on, I gotta do some math on my fingers. 1967 to 1975. I believe I was 8. Does that math line up?
Well, I'm very bad at math, especially after all those beers.
True. And so,
we are having a few cocktails. Yes.
Let's say that you are right.
Thank you, Luca. I appreciate that. Welcome. So I'm 8 years older, or something. And I was like, it's like I saw the light. I'm like, fuck, this is my music. And I just fell in love with the band. And Ace was one of the guys to me that stood out as far as one of the guys I really liked. I liked Gene Simmons with the blood and the fire and all that. And Paul was cool. Peter's cool. But Ace, I don't know. There was something about his mystique on stage. And then he released his first single, Shock Me, on Love Gun. And like, fuck.
And he had a Gibson Les Paul with 3 pickups. I don't know, but I always been like, I want a Gibson Les Paul with 3 pickups as well. I always wonder which kind of setting he had, because, come on, he was curious, no?
Yeah. Mm. So cool. And then the smoking and the cars like going crazy. I think it was after he got electrocuted. That's when he did Shock Me. And then maybe that's when I think he had the smoke, right? So here we are, he's passed away. And what a great legendary guitar player. And it's so great to see the outpouring of all the people he influenced. Because he's one of those guys that doesn't get mentioned a lot. It's like, oh, Jimmy Page, Jimi Hendrix. If you're going old school guitar players, you know, Eddie Van Halen, Yngwie Malmsteen. But Ace was a guy that influenced a lot of people. And that Les Paul. You know, Gary Moore is one of those other guys that was like, he was a fucking genius and master guitar, but he was kind of fell under the radar just a little bit as being guitar hero, unless you play guitar, right?
You know, when you are in the Valhalla of gods, what does it matter if you are Jesus or Moses? You will always go, you know, under the line, obviously, because there are people that reach level so high that it doesn't matter if you're a genius or not. They are like Uberman, superhumans, you know?
Yes.
So at the end, I think that every artist has his own value, and it depends. Things that they share is different between person to person. So I'm pretty sure there are like millions of people that has been influenced by him.
Yes.
And obviously you understand why he went down the radar compared to Jimi Hendrix or things like that. But honestly, we are talking about, my cock is huge because it's 40 centimeters and yours is 39 and a half.
Yeah, true. Now, I have that problem. I'm the little guy. We talked about that earlier. All right. So we have more folks at the table. We're doing a round table. So the manager of Shape of Water.
I am, yes, Sarah. Hi.
Sarah, do you have a Kiss story, or were you influenced by Kiss at all, or no?
I loved Kiss. Kiss was just brilliant.
Who was your favorite? I mean, it didn't have to be Ace. This is an Ace Frehley tribute show.
Well, I'm gonna
but
have
don't
to say
feel
Ace.
Any
no,
pressure.
No, I'm going to have to say Ace.
How come?
He was just brilliant. The way that he played, it just brought you into the band much more than the singer.
Yeah.
To me, it was a guitarist.
You know that Sarah has a son that is called Gene Simmons Jr.
Oh, really?
I mean,
oh, wow. Wow.
This is...
Is this true?
No.
It's fake news.
Clearly not.
We also have another rock star here from Shiva, May Care.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter.
All right.
Hey, though. It's Federico from Shiva, May Care.
Federico.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on Kiss? You mentioned something earlier when we kind of talked about doing this. What are your thoughts on Ace?
So Ace is, I grew up with glam rock and roll, like when I was like 13, 14, like glam rock, New York Dolls, you know, Protopunk, MC5, and The Stooges. And then I went on, you know, like Scandinavian rock and roll, Backyard Babies, Helicopters. And I was wondering always, what these guys take the inspiration from? And obviously, it was Ace Frehley, it was Kiss. So you had to listen to Kiss. Then, I don't know, he is one of those people that he made the guitar sound like nobody else's. And I just took loads from him, and Black Sheep from Kiss.
Yeah.
And always the outsider, even in his own band. And as I told you before, when he passed away, I was touring in Italy with the band, and I had to have a cold gin.
Yeah.
Plain, disgusting, great, because like it's just a great guy to remember.
We'll be right back. I agree. That was one of the first songs, I think, that he introduced to the band that they recorded. And, of course, Gene Simmons sang it and didn't drink gin, but Ace was drinking bottles at a time during one session. Rocks. All right, sure, Tark. What's your Ace Frehley story?
Right, I'll be the black sheep talking about black sheeps in the sense of, well, Ace Frehley and Twitha Keith in general had never been my cup of tea, really. Twitha, I always loved the main songs, because why would you not love them? Like, I Was Made for Loving You and Detroit Rock City and all these great songs, but I never been really into them. So when I discovered Kiss, though, it was because of Gene Simmons. I'm not a guitarist, so I've never been really into like guitar playing anyway. But I always been that person that recognizes the icon status of an icon, because he was like Gene Simmons, like all the band. So I guess it was definitely an influence to a lot of guitarists, a lot of musicians in general, not only guitarists, I suppose, because obviously Kiss were probably one of the most famous band in the world. They still are.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, for me, it didn't really. Probably it wasn't really a big influence, and didn't really affect my way of composing or playing in general. But again, it was an icon.
No, and I see that. I mean, being a bass player, vocalist, Ace not being listed as one of the greatest vocalists. He's not a Ryan James Dio or anybody like that. He could carry a tune for sure, and he had his vocals on his songs and solo career were really great, but it's for him. But I think he influenced more of the guitar players out there, which I was a guitar player at one point, and I wanted the Les Paul, like Luca was talking about. I was like, I gotta be Ace Frehley, you know. But I get your point, and that's the great thing about Kiss. They all had these different personas. So the drummers love Peter, the singers, frontmen love Paul Stanley, Gene Simmons, bass players, frontmen, vocalists. That was a great thing about Kiss. Everybody in the band sings rather than just one guy, right? So it's pretty cool. So real quick, we'll go around the table, and then we're going to do some more talk here about other stuff. But Luca, favorite Ace Frehley song or solo?
Oh, I'm completely ignorant about it.
Really?
Yes.
My favorite Ace Frehley solo is in Dr. Love. It's so nasty and dirty, that solo.
I cannot say which one is my favorite, but for sure, when I started to play guitar, that was 2004, I was in love with I Was Made for Loving You. It was a simple solo, and so it was one of the first that I tried to reproduce.
Yeah.
Obviously, very badly at the time.
Very badly.
but that was one of my very first trials on solo.
Okay. I'll tell you, let's play some Kiss. I Was Made for Loving You.
When we met the first time, which was actually in 2004, it was probably because you were I guess you were...
Yeah, I was trained the solo, and so I tried to show off at my very first audition with that solo.
Yeah, so it was the same song. But I must say that there's a song, I think it's a love and hate for that song, Rock and Roll All Night.
Yeah.
I like the song, but I also hate it so much because of the chorus.
I understand.
Really?
The ending chorus.
It's the same for me.
The ending chorus, and it never stops. But it's so good. But at the same time, it's like, please stop. You've done it 30 times at the end.
I'm done.
But I love it at the same time.
I think that songs actually remind me something. The reason why I didn't went into Kiss properly. I think my problem with Kiss was not Paul Stanley voice, but the lyrics. I always gave weight to the lyrics, and I don't know why, but lyrics from Kiss, I always thought they were like a bit like...
cheesy?
Yeah, cheesy. Probably.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, dude, it's all about trying to get girls in the back of a car and bam, exactly. Bone them. No offense. Earmuffs right here. We have a lady present. But no, it was all about fucking. Let's be honest. It was all about ladies' room. I snuck in the ladies' room. My love gun... Come on. I mean, there's a lot going on. And it was funny for me being that young, 8, 9, 10 years old, I had no fucking clue. No
merch.
Clue.
It was merch.
Yeah.
Like all the other merch they were selling.
Yeah. So, no, I get it. I get it. Yeah, the lyrics are cheesy. They're still fun to sing. And the biggest joke in the music industry is like Winger, they have that song 17. And he's like 60. He's
exactly.
He's like, dude, that's not right.
Yeah,
you can be arrested.
Your long gun is not even working anymore.
There's Viagra. There's other things. But it's love gun. I love that. That's good. Federico, you. What's your favorite? You mentioned Cold Gin. Is that your song?
No. Like, I actually tried... As Luca was saying, when you are very young, you don't know what you're doing, and I still don't know what I'm doing, but still, I was even less before. Strutter. Like the solo Strutter.
Oh, I love Strutter.
I love Strutter. Great. It's my first Kiss song.
I want to say that's one of the first songs I jammed with Ace.
Same. It is one of the first songs I jammed with my friends in back in Italy when I was very, very, very young.
That's awesome.
Oh, who's going to play the solo? Oh, I don't want to fucking play the solo. I don't know how to play the solo. I have to learn it. So, yeah, it was probably Strutter and Love Gun, the solo, really little solo in Love Gun. It is basically a pentatonic scale.
Yeah.
It's like just the pentatonic scale. And I was like, okay, so I can play solo like that.
Yeah.
And it was fucking amazing knowing that you can actually do that.
Was rewarding, right?
It was rewarding, exactly. It's a fucking just a pentatonic scale, man. And just rock the pentatonic scale. Sometimes that is like simple things sometimes works it. Ace.
Well, this is blasphemy what I'm about to say. I shouldn't say this, but I'm unfiltered on the show, as everyone knows. I don't really give a fuck what anybody thinks. If you don't like it, whatever. Don't listen, whatever. But I will say this. There was a guitar player after Ace Frehley, a guy named Vinnie Vincent. Rebel. Motherfucker. And the first time I ever saw Kiss Live was on the Creatures of the Night tour. And the way, I mean, I love the way the solo in Love Gun and the end of it. But oh my God, what Vinnie Vincent did to it back in like Creatures, Lick It Up, motherfucker. It was insane what he added. to what was already great solo. And again, he says, H. Fraley, you're great. Let me see what I can do to compliment what you did. Mm-hmm. I think that's what Bruce Kulick did. And then ultimately, Tommy Thayer was just a clone of H. Fraley. And I know a lot of people praise Tommy for what he's done in the band, becoming H. Fraley, or the character H. Fraley, or not the character, the person. He was a person. He created this persona in the band and created these solos, these songs, the music, everything. But then Tommy just copied everything, where you had Bruce and Vinny like, no, we're going to expand on that. And that's, I feel bad for Tommy in that I don't believe he was able to do that, because I think Gene and Paul said, no, right now, no one knows who the fuck you are. They think you're Spaceman. And same thing with Eric Singer. I mean, there's these four faces. The old generation knows Ace, Peter, Paul, and Gene. People today, my kid doesn't know who the fuck they are. There's Catman, Spaceman, Demon, and Starchild. So good on him. But I will say what Vinny added, and if you listen to my show, you know I'm a big Vinny Vincent guy, at least when he was playing. He did some really tasteful, cool shit.
I'm not even going to dignify myself with a response to that.
The Right to Rock.
Hey kids, this is Eric Martin from the band Mr. Big, and you're listening to Ragman. Horns up.
Kiss Ace Frehley fan or not? Or any at all? Or
I was, when I was younger, I was a Kiss fan.
Mm-hmm.
with Frehley and the early day, you know, Peter Criss and all that stuff like that. And I did like Kiss later. I mean, I don't know where I was during the Eric Carr years. But when Eric Singer got in the band, he was like one of my favorite. I mean, I loved him in Badlands.
Yeah, he was really good in Badlands.
And Tommy Thayer. You know, I did this gig one time. It was a tribute to Montrose. Ronnie Montrose had passed away, and he was our San Francisco Bay Area, you know, hero. And him and Ronnie and I wrote some songs and hung out like a good 5 years before he passed away. And his wife, Lisa, put together like this big tribute for him. And they had all these people that played. I'm going off on a thing. I know I'm going to forget where I'm at. I need a bookmark. But Montrose members that have played with him over the years went on stage and they played all his songs and all that, right? And I played with Eric Singer and Tommy Thayer, and had some great background singers play with me. And I don't remember who played drums. Oof, that's gonna kill me right there. Probably, it wasn't Pat Torpy. It was Eric Singer, of course, drums, not drums. Who played bass? I don't know, but I think Jeff Watson from the early days of Night Ranger.
Yeah.
Played with us, except he messed up, actually, poor guy. I love that guy, too. I do. I love him now, but he bothered. I know I'm going off in a kind of bunch of branch avenues, like I do, but we're on stage and we're playing Free Ride. Edgar Winter. Come on and take a free ride. Well, Ronnie Montrose played the guitar on Free Ride.
Oh, and wow, I didn't know that.
He did. And Frankenstein and a bunch of songs with the, you know, Johnny Winter, Edgar Winter, Rick Derringer days and stuff like that. But anyway, and he also played with, I can't sing it right now, but like, Van Morrison.
Oh, okay.
Morrison, yeah, had a show the other day. Sorry, last night. So we're up there playing in front of this big San Francisco crowd, and I'm going, "Where's Jeff? Where's Watson?" And there were so many amps and so many things moved around because everybody wanted to use their own amps. Nobody wanted to use just a straight back line, and it looked like Guitar Center back there. And all I saw was, like, we're playing, "Come on, to take a free ride." And I kept looking. I go, "Jeff, are you coming or what?" And he goes, he's got a flashlight in his hand. And he goes, "I can't find my amp."
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Wasn't good. Oh, I'm so pissed.
Poor guy.
But Eric Singer, who I knew a little bit, and Tommy Thayer, and they were awesome. And, yeah, I liked a lot of the Kiss, you know, generations or whatever, different albums and all that. Mm-hmm. And Matt Starr, there's a guy who the drummer for Big, and he played with Ace Frehley. That's where we found him, actually. Billy jammed with Ace, and Matt was playing drums. And this was and he said, "Hey man, I really like your playing," and he was in Mr. Big for a while.
I remember Matt. I met him, Matt Starr, I think, one time.
Richie Scarlett would be perfect, actually.
Scarlett would be badass,
I loved Ace. I remember the guys in Paul Gilbert absolutely loved Kiss. And I think I remember being on the tour bus with Mr. Big and watching that Phantom movie.
Oh, and, that thing's so bad.
And hearing their voices for the first time, you know?
Yeah.
Starchild. Gene, Paul's like, "People," you know, that voice. And they're like, Ace Frehley's voice was so distinctive. It's like, "Yeah, I talk like this, man." You know, it was so distinctive. And Peter Criss, different, you know. Another guy who loved Kiss. You know, all these guys that I was telling you this before in other interviews. Steve Brown, PJ Farley from Trickster, Joey Quesada, huge Kiss fan. Toured with Kiss with his band, what are they called?
ZO2.
ZO2.
Yeah.
Yeah, another guy that would, he's probably a great interview. He likes to talk like me. And Chris Jericho, huge Kiss fan.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I've heard
these guys talk about on this thread for years and years and years. And they've stopped talking over the last week or two. Some of them are taking that Ace Frehley passing really hard. I mean, we all are in the musical community, but yes, some of these guys are just like so bummed out right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the way he went was sad, really sad.
Sad because here's a guy that's like, I mean, all, I don't know if it was the tabloids or not, but a lot of like, oh, yeah, Kiss still talking about Kiss and in a negative light, all of them doing that again like they do, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he turned his life around.
Yeah.
And he was doing great, and he was getting healthier. And Steve Brown said he was a, I don't think these are the words Steve Brown's used, but he said he was a delight to work with, something along that lines.
Mm-hmm.
And then here he is, and he falls a couple times, actually. I heard that when he fell the first time, he was okay. And then it just fell again, like accident.
What if something else was going on? Maybe.
You know, I'm not a doctor.
Yeah.
I'm not a friend of Ace.
Yeah.
But every time you saw him on stage, I've seen Ace Frehley a couple times. When you saw him on stage, he had a little... There's a trouble walking kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.